Before we come around God's word, once again, let's seek the Lord afresh, even for his help. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we do pray now that as we come around thy word, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst come and speak to us. We thank thee even for what we have sang. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Lord, we pray this day that thou would show us thy will, that thou would speak to us. Blessed Holy Spirit, that thou wouldst move amongst us. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst challenge us afresh from thy word. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst apply it to our hearts. Lord, that thou wouldst keep away every distracting thought. Lord, that our minds may be focused upon thee. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst take this preacher and hide him far behind the cross, that none be seen save Christ. So, blessed Holy Spirit, come and tabernacle amongst us. May all glory and honour and praise be given to our God alone. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Friends, this morning we come to this 18th chapter of 1 Kings, and I'm sure for many, as I announced our text, I announced where we're reading from, our thoughts immediately turned to that great passage that we read of Elijah, where he confronts the prophet of Baal. I know personally that, for me, is one of the great passages that I love to read, to see how the mighty workings of God, even there, in the latter verses of this chapter. But this morning, I want to consider our thoughts on the verses at the beginning of the passage, perhaps verses that are very much overlooked when we come and we consider Elijah and the chapters around about these verses. There are great lessons to be learned from Elijah. And we all know the stories. We could look back to Zarephath and see how the Lord fed Elijah, even through the drought, how the Lord undertook for him with the ravens, how they brought him flesh and how they brought him bread. We could consider how he moved on to Zarephath from the brook Cherith, and there the Lord provided the oil in the barrel and the meal, and the widow provided for even for Elijah through the moving of the hand of God upon that home. There are so many other things that we could take from this, the life of this man. But we come this morning and, as it were, we see, we are introduced to another man, a man by the name of Obadiah, a man perhaps in many ways overshadowed by this great giant Elijah. And yet the Lord sees fit to include considerable detail about one who in many ways seems so significant in the grand scale of things that are going on around about us here. This morning, perhaps you consider yourself of little or no value or consequence in the work of the Lord here in this part of his vineyard. Oh, there are those around about you that are more capable of being involved, of helping out in the church and different aspects of the work than you are. Perhaps even those that, as it were, steal the limelight. Not that you're seeking it, but you feel perhaps you've disappeared into the shadows. Well, in many ways, I believe that Obadiah was such an individual, and I believe that he is recorded here in this scripture, for there are so many lessons that we can learn from the life of this man today. To give some background to this individual, some believe that this may be the same Obadiah whose prophecy is recorded among the minor prophets, but there are different views to that. It is difficult to be certain because in the Old Testament alone there are 13 different Obadiahs mentioned. The Hebrew name Obadiah means worshipper or servant of God. And so we have a man given this name and yet set in the middle of a very pagan setting. Set in the middle of a nation that was far from God. Set right in the very courts of Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. Ahab that did more wickedly than any of the kings that went before him. And here we have a man whose name means worshipper or servant of God, set
in the midst of idolatry. This morning I want us to learn some lessons from a man of God. We learn some lessons from a man of God. Some of the Bible commentators down through the years have ridiculed this man because of what they see as a lack of witness in the royal palace. They contrast the life of Obadiah with that of Elijah. Obadiah, they say, was a weak believer who served Ahab rather than serving the Lord, while Elijah disregarded what men thought and served God. Obadiah served in secret, while Elijah served the Lord very publicly. But friends, the Lord uses us all in different ways. We're all individual characters, and we all have our own strengths and weaknesses. And so often when we study Scripture, we see the great giants of Scripture, whether it be Abraham, whether it be David, whether it be Paul, and we look at these men and we think, well, we could never be like that. And is that not the case too with Elijah? Well, there was a great man of God, and how could we ever compare to that man? How could we ever live up to the standard of that man? But here we have an individual, someone who is used of the Lord, someone who is not an Elijah. And today, friends, there are those amongst us who are Elijahs, and there are those amongst us who believe are Obadiahs. Some involved in a greater way than others in the Lord's service. Some working closely and quietly behind the scenes, as it were. So firstly, I want us to notice that here we have Obadiah, a fearful man. Obadiah, a fearful man. When we consider fear, our minds start to race and there are different ideas that spring into our heads. But as I considered it, I thought of someone who was terrified to an extent that they don't know what way to turn, what way to look. They're nervous about their whole situation. And in many ways, this may have been the case with this child of God. If we were to read the previous chapters of the book, we would see the wickedness not only of Ahab the king, but perhaps more so of his wife Jezebel. In fact, so great was her hatred of the Lord that we see in these verses before us the terrible massacre of the prophets of the Lord in verse 4. There we read, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord." And again, further down our passage, Obadiah highlights the plight of these men, these prophets of the Lord, even in verse 13 as he speaks to Elijah. Prophets spoken of here is not only a name given to such as had that extraordinary spirit of prophecy, but to such ministers as devoted themselves to the servants of God in preaching, praying and praising the Lord and such like. And yet in her vehement anger and rebellion for anything that resembled obedience to God, she sought to annihilate all trace of true worship towards the Lord Jehovah. Friends, in many ways, do we need not see the rise of such in our own land, even in these days that we're living? We look across our land, we see the decisions that our government has made, and it should break the heart of each believer when we see laws being passed that are contrary to God's word. We see the rise of the LGBT movements. We see anything Godward or God glorifying being vigorously attacked as those with such an evil agenda seem to eliminate the true worship of the Lord. Why? Because God's word highlights their sins and they do not want to hear that what their actions are sin. Friends, that's the truth of God's word. And when God's word is preached, there will be those that will rise up and there will be those that will stand against it and there will be those that will do all within their power to oppose it and even to put it away. Do we not see that with our brother John Sherwood even as he proclaimed the gospel? And he spoke of men male and female alike, created of God. And he was arrested. Why? Because it was offensive. My friend, today the gospel is offensive. If you are in your sin, the gospel will highlight your sin and it will be offensive. And I make no apology for an offensive gospel. I say with Paul, and I hope each one of us in the days that lie ahead will be able to say with Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I wonder, are we prepared to stand for the Lord? The Bible has been desecrated and the teaching of God's word is seen as unacceptable in modern society. Yea, more so, it is becoming a hate crime. We look beyond our shores to our brothers and sisters in the East. We think of communist regimes and Muslim states. We could consider the attack of Turkey upon the Christian people of Armenia. Yet it makes little of the headlines. But when Israel attacks Palestine, oh, what a different story. And the world is up in anger. Dear friends, anything to do with Christ, anything to do with God is severely under attack in these days across our world. And so it was for this man Obadiah, as he lived in his day, in the midst of the wicked reign of King Ahab and his very evil wife. Well, things have not changed in many ways. Is that not what the Lord told his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Well, dear friends, we're to expect it. But the Lord gives strength and help, as we've seen, as we will see. I'm sure as this man served in the courts of the palace, that oft times he feared for his life as he had seen the wickedness of those around him. How could he not, when he had seen such hatred, such wrath, such anger poured out upon those who served the Lord? This wickedness is even seen in the actions of Ahab in verse 5. The biblical historians tell us that he was more concerned about the welfare of his horses than that of his people. The drought was so severe that King Ahab himself and his trusted servant here, even in the governor of his house, this man Obadiah, went out searching for pasture for their animals. We might have supposed that he would set himself to alleviate the miseries of his people, and above all that he would have turned back to God. But no, his one thought was about his horses and his mules. His only care was to save some of them alive. And this was a selfish man who cared little for his people. He put his livestock before them, seeking for grass instead of seeking for God in prayer. Again, we've seen that in recent days. No National Day of Prayer. No turning to the Lord. During this searching, as Obadiah was in the way, suddenly Elijah appeared before him and gave him a message for his master. Go tell thy Lord, he says, behold, Elijah is here. Place yourself in Obadiah's shoes. Would you want to be in that situation? Obadiah, knowing, no doubt, the murderous character of his master, trembles for his life. His life is filled with fear. We've read those verses 9 to 13. He says to Elijah, what have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant in the hand of Ahab to slay me? We knew the kind of man that he worked for. He knew how Ahab had sought to find Elijah high up and low down across the length and breadth of the land and further afield. He evidently knew that the husband, Jezebel, set little value on any of his subjects' lives, and that in his present temper would not hesitate on the least provocation or suspicion to slay him also without mercy. but assured by the prophet that Ahab should find him. As he said, Obadiah delivered the message, and yet no doubt with fear and trembling, but he obeyed. Dear believer, whatever our situation is today, whatever and wherever we find ourselves, praise God, the Lord knows our ways. No matter how dark things may seem around us, whether individually or collectively, praise God, the Lord is in control. Obadiah had received a word from the Lord that should have relieved his fears. But he was a human. And at times, even with the assurance of God's word, we doubt. But in accordance with the word of God, Obadiah done that which he was asked by Elijah and brought this message to Ahab. Dear friend, this morning, have you fears? Are there uncertainties in your path? Are you facing something this week that perhaps nobody else knows about? And your soul is troubled. You don't know what the outcome will be. Praise God. He has promised that he'll be with us. He has promised that he'll go with us every step of the way. Have we not sang of that? Sometimes we need to step out in faith and get under the blood. How often we sing, standing on the promises of Christ our God. And yet, so often, really we're only standing in the premises. We come to worship the Lord. But how much are we trusting him day by day? Are we trusting the promises of his word? Are we seeking the guiding of him in our lives through his word, through the place of prayer? Praise God. Obadiah had no need to fear. For the Lord not only went with him, but the Lord went before him. Dear friend, whatever you're facing, whatever your fears, the Lord will not only go with you, but he has went before you. What assurance to know that our God is in control of all things. And that no matter what happens, it is in his will and in his plan. So we've seen Obadiah, the fearful man, but I want to also see Obadiah, the faithful man. As we look at this passage, we wonder how a man like Obadiah, a worshipper of Jehovah, came to hold office under such an idolater as Ahab. Our immediate reaction could be like that of some of the commentators. If he was a man of faith and principle, would he not have resigned his position and looked for work somewhere else? How could he serve such a wicked king like Ahab, considering the atrocities that were being carried out by his regime? But remember, friends, Paul speaks of the saints in Nero's palace, whose salutations were considered worthy of mention. One commentator notes, godliness has been quaintly said, it is a hardy plant that can live amidst the frosts of persecution and the relaxing warmth of a corrupt court, and not merely in the conservatory of a pious family. How true. We could take examples throughout Scripture. We see Joseph serving Pharaoh, and the Lord blessed him, and the Lord used him. Joseph, it was in the Lord's place at the Lord's time. Genesis 41:41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Joseph, speaking to his brothers, in chapter 45:7, says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. We consider Daniel chapter 2:48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over all the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Friends, the list goes on. The little maid in Naaman's house. What about Mordecai and Esther? And so the Lord placed Obadiah in this position of authority in the king's court, for a specific reason. It was part of his plan. So often we're quick to look and we're quick to give judgment ourselves. But we need to see the Lord's hand in it. It was just as he had done with others. Why did he do such a thing? Well, I believe the reason is clearly given in these verses. Look out with me with verse 3. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Look at the end of verse 12. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord. And here we see that Obadiah feared the Lord. This was not the same fear that he had of Ahab and Jezebel. No, this was a reverent fear of God. The God of heaven, the creator and sustainer of all things. He believed the promises of the Lord to be yea and amen. He was trusting in God. Like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Job, David, and many others before him. And they looked for the promised Messiah. The Redeemer who would come and bear the sins of his people. And we could say, by faith, Obadiah lived in the company of what lived Ahab and Jezebel. Obadiah feared the Lord. His faith was great. But notice also that with this fear of the Lord, it was no new thing to him. It was a faith that was familiar to him. We read there verse 12, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. What a joy to be able to say, from my youth I have trusted Christ. What a privilege and a joy. Here was a man who we know little of his background and his upbringing, yet from what we read we can assume that he had godly parents, or at least he heard the word of God. I wonder, was it the case of that with young Timothy? Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 15, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It is significant that his name, Obadiah, means servant of the Lord, suggesting that in all probability his parents were God-fearing people. And what a great privilege to be brought up in a Christian home. Well, yes, so often as young people we despised it. So often as young people we felt restrained and restricted. But praise God, he has saved many of us and he has brought us through, and we look back and we count it a privilege to have been taught the scriptures from a mother's or a grandmother's knee. And here was a man who trusted the Lord early in life, and the Lord led him on, and the Lord used him for his honour and for his glory. But notes also, he had a fervent faith. He had a fervent faith. He was not just going through the motions of his religion. It was sad to say many across our land, and dare I say even in our own denomination, of a form of godliness. You speak to them about their salvation. You speak to them about the things of God. You challenge them perhaps as to service for the Lord, and they will remind you and themselves of that day and hour when they trusted Christ. But the reality is like that of the church of the Laodiceans. When the Lord said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold nor hot. No, this was a man that greatly feared the Lord. He was walking with the Lord. He may not have been an Elijah, but nevertheless he lived a life of faithfulness with zeal, intensity and enthusiasm. Oh, there were no half measures for this individual. He was an out-and-out believer. Could we say anything better than this about a believer? That he's out and out. Oh, but you bring me back to the situation of his employment. You say, if that were the case, Ahab was such an evil man, then how did Obadiah survive? I believe Ahab seen the same qualities in Obadiah, this child of God. that those men seen in Daniel, in Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, the same qualities that Potiphar seen in Joseph and Pharaoh. Well, this was an honest man. He was a God-fearing man. And he was an honest man. When others were working moves for their own gain, Obadiah was faithful in his service, not only to his God, but to his master. Here was one who could be trusted explicitly. Here was one who could be relied upon. Here was one who, because of his faithfulness to God, was faithful to his master. Again, there are examples throughout Scripture. Do we not even see Paul's testimony in that when he was bound, even in Felix's presence, that he was given liberty? Again, when he was in Rome, while other prisoners were shackled and chained and incarcerated, Paul was allowed to have visitors. So his testimony shone through. Yes, here was a man who was faithful and trustworthy. But I want us to notice also that he had a fruitful faith. He had a fruitful faith. What do I mean? I mean that in his service for the Lord, he brought forth fruit. He accomplished much for God. Even in the midst of such a difficult environment, Obadiah had a desire to preserve the work and word of the Lord, even at the risk of losing everything that he had worked for. He did not shy away. He risked it all, even to the point of death. Verse 4 again. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Such was the conviction and compassion of this man for the work of the Lord. And to serve the Lord was more important than life itself. Dear friends, as I considered this, there is a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ here. The Lord says in John 9 verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And Obadiah set himself about to save the lives of those around him. But the Lord Jesus Christ done more. My Saviour left the splendor of heaven. My Saviour humbled himself and took on the form of man. My Saviour lived a life of obedience to the law of the Lord, knowing what lay before him. He went willingly to Calvary's cross, not to save those that loved him, but to save vile, wretched sinners like you and I that hated him, that despised him, that Noah had no time for him or for his word. For those of us that only wanted to seek our own pleasures and live life to the full, Christ gave himself for sinful men. And dear unsaved friend, my Saviour bled and died on Calvary's cross to save you, to deliver you from the curse of sin and hell for all eternity. The Scripture tells us that many a man would lay down his life for his friends, but my Saviour laid down his life for those who loved him not. This morning, dear unsaved friend, will you not accept Christ as your Saviour? The one who gave himself for you on Calvary's cross? Dear friends, I ask you this morning, are you trusting Christ for salvation? Obadiah faced trials and difficulties, but the Lord was with him and the Lord undertook for him. What of you, my friend, when trials and difficulties come? What refuge, what trust, what hope of you? And what when you come to the end of life's journey? Dear friend, when you pass from this scene of time, there is no hope. There is no refuge. It will be too late, and the trials and the difficulties that you face today will not in the slightest way compare with the torments of hell for all eternity. Only true peace, true happiness is found in Christ. Dear believer, as we bring our service to a close, we may not all be Elijahs, but in the midst of the account of such a man as Elijah, the Lord introduces us, as it were, in the account to perhaps such many ways an insignificant individual. But the Lord used Obadiah. And the Lord blessed Obadiah. And the Lord undertook for Obadiah, even amidst fears, trials, difficulties. Dear friend, we are to be Obadiahs for the Lord, serving the Lord in our own way wherever the Lord has placed us, honouring Him and obeying Him, trusting Him day by day, living for His honour and glory, living lives of faith with fervency, and bearing fruit for His name's sake, maintaining the standard of His word. Here's a man who by his faithful life saved the lives of them or those around him. I wonder, dear friend, are we doing the same? Are we doing the same? There's a challenge for each one of us today. May the Lord help us to apply it to our own hearts and our own lives. The hymn writer penned the words, God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labour, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing help, undying love. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Amen.